Let us pray. Almighty God, with whom do live the spirits of those who depart hence in the Lord, and with whom the souls of the faithful, after they are delivered from the burden of the flesh, are in joy and felicity, we give thee hearty thanks for the good examples of all thy servants like Ruby, who having finished their course in faith, do now rest from their labors. And we beseech thee that we, with all those who are departed in the true faith of thy holy name, may have our perfect consummation and bliss, both in body and soul, in thy eternal and everlasting glory. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Please be seated. It is normally at this time that I say, on behalf of St. Joseph's church community, we extend to Ruby's family our heartfelt condolences at your loss. But we were all Ruby's family. It is an honor to celebrate her life. The prayer book that was by her bedside table had a bookmark with the prayer that I just read, so she must have wanted it included. I would like to invite Jean Safer and Diane Kanishi to come forward to share some reflections on Ruby's life.
We were asked to share our memories of Ruby because we had the honor and privilege of visiting her for several years as St. Joseph's parishioners and lay Eucharistic ministers.
Here are some of our reflections on the colorful personality we knew and loved.
Ruby Van Royen was born Ruby Brown in Georgia in 1907, one of five children and the fraternal twin of her brother, Ruth. The Browns lived in a very small house, and they all slept in the same bedroom. On Sundays, the children went to church and studied the Bible and were not allowed to play. Ruby's mother passed away at an early age. Ruby often reminisced about seeing her mother returning from a trip, standing on a train platform wearing a long skirt with her baby in her arms. Ruby said, "She was the most beautiful sight I had ever seen."
Ruby's father was 20 years older than his late wife, and eventually it became too difficult for him to care for all the children. Ruby was sent to Raven Gap, which at that time was a working industrial school. Ruby worked in the kitchen. And one day, when a fellow student was shirking her responsibilities, Ruby and her fellow students knocked over an outhouse while the miscreant student was in it. Ruby could be quite mischievous and delighted in telling about her naughtiness. She used to ask me, "Are you behaving yourself or just when people watch?" I asked her, "What about you?" She said, "What do you think?"
Ruby grew into a beautiful young woman and met Scotty, who made the mistake of asking to visit her where she was staying. She told him, "You must have me confused with some other kind of woman." Scotty took her for a drive instead, and they eventually ended up marrying. They helped raise Ruby's nephew, Norman, the son of her twin brother, Ruth. Ruby was fond of saying, "In 5 years, I never caught Norman in a lie or stealing."
She later met Van, after whom our parish hall is named. Ruby also helped guide a young man she later referred to as her nephew, Michael, who became a writer and a playwright. Ruby also faced many challenges in her life. She survived cancer, the loss of her first husband to her sister, and many serious illnesses. She also had many adventures, including riding an elephant and taking up ballroom dancing at the age of 75 or so. She finally gave up competitive ballroom dancing when she turned 98 because there was no one left in her age class.
Ruby came to St. Joseph's at the suggestion of a friend after attending another church for a year and no one spoke to her or knew her name. While at St. Joseph's, Ruby worked on the Altar Guild, and as you probably know, she headed up a project to create the beautiful needlepoint kneelers which still grace our sanctuary and Lady Chapel. Some parishioners still remain who recall working with Ruby on the Altar Guild, among them Doris von Greyers and Rachel Adizak. Rachel remembers going to Ruby's to help embroider linens when Ruby couldn't do it anymore. Ruby drove herself to church until her late 90s and loved seeing Michelle Benner and all those children in the pew in front of her.
When Ruby was in her 90s, she and dance partner Tommy performed a spectacular dance exhibition for her St. Joseph's family at a Valentine's dinner and dance, including a dance with two men, which was truly astounding. She threw an amazing party on her 100th birthday, to which all were invited, and did a medley of 9 dances, even though she had recently injured her leg. At 104, Ruby attended the groundbreaking for our music building, and with the help of Ray Mills, she hoisted a shambolic shovelful of dirt. She attended the reception afterwards, enjoyed the food, and remarked, "That was a nice party."
We first visited Ruby about 15 years ago when Norma Van Buskirk, who was head of the Flower Guild at that time, asked us to take flowers to Ruby when she had been ill. Ruby welcomed us warmly and was very down to earth. She was especially interested in Oriental art and culture. In ensuing months, she would call us from time to time to ask us to pick up items for the ECW bazaar or yard sales, or invite us for holiday dinners. Ruby loved good food, especially if it had some zip in it. Shrimp cocktail was a favorite, and she was a great cook and hostess.
One Sunday after Ruby had been seriously ill and we had taken communion to her, she asked if she could have communion brought to her every week. We hesitated because we did not know if scheduling that would be possible for Olive Gill, who had just taken over coordinating the lay Eucharistic ministers. We then realized we could make that commitment ourselves and told her, yes, we would do that. She smiled and in a reassuring tone said, "I'm not going to be around much longer, you know." As you may well know, that was about 6.5 years ago.
Ruby bounced back many times when we thought we were going to lose her. And she would wink and say, "I fooled them all." She was incredibly strong and resilient, and even in her last year of life, she could squeeze your hand or push back with her feet like a person half her age. During her last 6 years or so, Ruby was blessed to have incredible caregivers help her live her life to the fullest. Vera Braithwaite headed up a team which included Patricia, Nancy, Perla, Beau, Joanne, and Marta. She always included them at holiday dinners and other celebrations and in our communion services if they wanted to participate. Ruby loved them and treated them with kindness, just as they treated her like a person and not only as a patient or client.
Ruby loved her fellow humans, but she was especially fond of men. She loved Father Marty. She also loved Dee, Demery, and Bree. Father William, Bill French, Vera's husband, Alan, her financial manager and longtime friend of 42 years, Andrew Smith, and his son, Drew, and one of her dance partners, Scott, who visited her faithfully to the end.
She loved Gene, too, but she required him to wear a red tie, saying, "All my men wear red ties." One time Jean wore a mauve bow tie and she pointed at it and said, "Not red enough." One chilly night, caregiver Beau offered to get her more blankets and Ruby said, "Just go downstairs and get me 2 men to keep me warm." And she was probably around 103 at the time.
A lot of people say Ruby was a pistol. She was actually a sawed-off shotgun. She lived life on her terms and lived it very fully. Ruby was an exceptionally giving and sharing person. Not only did she generously share her treasured time and talent with her church, she was also a major benefactor at her alma mater, Raven Gap, which is no longer a farmland working school but has become a well-known, highly respected private school. She was also not shy about telling others she loved them.
We asked Ruby the secret of her long life, and she said,
"Just try to get along with other people.
Tell people you love them, and
have little Jesus on my shoulder.
With those life rules and superb caregivers, she managed to outlive many of her family members and friends, even her nephew Norman, who recently passed away. Surviving family members and friends include Norman's wife, Jerry, who regularly called to check on Aunt Ruby, her niece, Iris, who sent her cards every week, her friend, Robin, who featured Ruby in some of her artwork, Janie from Raven Gap, who sent beautiful handmade cards for Ruby and her caregivers. And we're also honored to have Dr. Anthony Scrow, head of Raven Gap, and Laura Schott here with us today. All her friends from Bar Terrace, the granddaughter and family of Ivy, her longtime family friend and caregiver, is also here with us today. And she was survived by all of those who cared for Ruby, both physically and in their hearts.
In her last years, Ruby often wondered, why is God still keeping me here? We know now that she's in heaven and probably getting the answer to her question. We suspect we were blessed with her presence for so long in order to love her more fully, ponder her wisdom, be inspired by her faith, and just be amazed.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jean and Diane. A few notes were forwarded to me for people who were unable to be physically present today, one being Iris. And she writes this: we always look forward to our visits with Aunt Ruby, bright interludes in our otherwise rather mundane lives. The Brown brothers and sisters were close and loving and fun to be with, especially when they all got together. But more than that, Aunt Ruby introduced us to a variety of experiences that broadened our horizons. New York Central Park, the zoo, horseback riding, museums, travel, fine restaurants, even our first bubble bath. More than that, however, were wonderful people we met along the way because of her. Over the years, I've been inspired by the journey of the Brown family in overcoming the hardships of their early life, their strong belief in the power of faith, hard work, the value of education. Aunt Ruby's generosity of spirit was a blessing I cherish, a model I try to carry on in my own life. And this note came to me as well from Rosalind. My Aunt Ruby was one of five siblings. She was the glue that held the family together. Her family was everything to her, and she showed her love for them and their children in many ways. She and others were orphaned at a very early age, leaving her much older father to raise five young children. They were fortunate to be sent to the Raven Gap School in the North Georgia Mountains, where they worked their way through by working in the gardens where the food was grown. Hard work. Ruby was a very loving and kind person. I will miss her and hope, as someone said, that she is dancing with the angels. And a note from Ruby's girls. When Ruby passed away a week ago Friday night, I was honored to gather at Ruby's home. And there, every one of those caregivers came, and we gathered around the bed and had a meaningful prayer service remembering Ruby. And they write this: it was truly an honor to have known and loved you. How fortunate and blessed we all are we've been placed in your life. You will be greatly missed, but we're happy to know you are with our Lord in heaven and most likely dancing with the angels. Our deepest gratitude for all that you are and all that you've done for us and everyone else. God bless you, dear Ruby, with all our love. Vera, Patricia, Beau, Joanne, Perla, and Martha. Sandwiched into this nativity story that we hear so much in this holiday season, between the shepherds and the angels and Mary and Joseph and Elizabeth and Zechariah and John the Baptist, there is this little section that we just heard about. This prophetess, Anna, widowed at the age of 84, Ruby was just getting started at that age. But we hear how she proclaimed about the Messiah. And it must have been important, otherwise Luke wouldn't have it in that second chapter. Ruby was and is important. I don't think I have ever met anyone whom this phrase would more aptly suit. Speaking the truth in love. Because she would speak it whether you wanted to hear it or not. Tough love sometimes, but love nonetheless. I arrived as the rector of this church in March of 2001. I began to host what were called cottage meetings, to go from place to place and to talk together with the congregation about what their hopes, their dreams, their visions were, and my ideas for the church. And I asked people if they would be willing to host for one of those events. Guess who the first person was who came forward? Ruby wanted to host one at her home. Some of the people, as I look out, were at that meeting that took place at Bar Terrace. And I remember at that time, since it was some of, shall we say, the senior parishioners of our church, I had some outlandish ideas, and they weren't extremely met with praise by everyone present until Ruby spoke up. And she said, "Well, you got to do something. They're not exactly beating the doors down, are they?" Ruby was a supporter, a cheerleader, a lover. She would do whatever she could for anyone. We all know about these beautiful pillows. When we redesigned this sanctuary, I had to make a promise to her that no matter what we did with this redesign, those pillows would be a part of the redesign. And so when we had Father William do the drawing, he measured all these pillows to make sure that they would still be a part of our celebration. You can still see on some of those cushions in the right or left corner the initials R, Van, R, V, R. They were done by Ruby Van Royen. The main pillow that she did is the main pillow that goes in the center that says, "Alleluia, Christ is risen." The words that we proclaim every Easter Sunday, and they are the words with which we will end this celebration today. How appropriate is it that the initials R, V, R are on that pillow? Ruby lived an amazing, amazing life. There was a time when my daughter Demery and my wife, and with Betty Loper, whose niece wrote the lyrics to a famous song called "I Hope You Dance," Ruby was presented with this little doll that actually sings the song. "I hope you never lose your sense of wonder." Vera made a matching outfit for Ruby. And in a dance competition down in Del Rey, Ruby danced to this song that I think captures her spirit. If the technology gods are working today, we would like to try and watch that video. what incredible theology that contains perhaps what Ruby taught us most. I hope you never fear those mountains in the distance. Never settle for the path of least resistance. Living might be taking chances, but they're worth taking. Loving might be a mistake, but it's worth making. Whenever one door closes, I hope one more opens. Promise me that you'll give faith a fighting chance. Wow, 107 years. I think she gave it a fighting chance. I suppose we are all familiar with the poem called The Footprints in the Sand, where there is this image of a person walking on the beach with God, and there are two sets of footprints, and then one of the footprints disappears and the person doesn't understand. And God answers, "That's when I carried you." There is a sequel to that poem. It talks about later on that two sets of footprints returns, and the person is unsure what that means. And God responds, "That's when we danced." I think for Ruby, we need a sequel to the sequel. Because after that, there are a whole ton of footprints. Because Ruby danced her life, a lot of other people can dance as well. May she rest in peace.